We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of...
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 95. I am Amory from MyTakeOnTV.com.
I'm Jason the TVaholic from TVaholic.com. And this week we have joining us...
I'm Janie from Monsters and Critics.
Yay, Janie! Woo! Okay, so I warned her ahead of time. Janie, tell me, how did you get involved with Monsters and Critics, and what is it that you cover over there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? All the good stuff.
I needed a productive outlet for all the TV I watch, so I didn't seem like such a pathetic loser. And then I did a pathetic loser thing and sent emails to all the editors of the sites I read and said, please take me. And they did. So that's how.
I did the same kind of please take me, and that's how I got started too. So you are not alone. I think that's how a lot of everybody started in this business, as it were.
Oh, good. So I cover a wide range of shows, mostly things that fall under the geek category. So the sci-fi, fantasy, Chuck, those kind of shows.
Cool. And I should cover things, and I don't. I don't watch TV. I mean, I do, but I never write about it.
That's what I mentioned last week, is we find ourselves watching it.
Exactly.
And then you're like, oh, wait, probably should write something about that. I just wanted to say that... April is one of my favorite people, April McIntyre.
Yes, I love April.
Yeah.
From Monsters and Critics. She's one of the first people I ever met, you know, out on a set visit.
Well, oddly enough, I've never even met her.
Really?
So she's technically my editor and sends me things from time to time, but I'm kind of off on the little blog section of Monsters and Critics, and she's off doing the other things, and very seldom do we overlap, but... We follow each other on Twitter, and yeah, that is in its own a little, you know, acquaintance, so.
This world that we live in is very interesting in how things like that work. As, well, people that have listened to the podcast for a while will know that we did the podcast for almost a year before I'd ever met Amory in person.
Yep, this is true.
We'd only ever talked on the podcast.
I actually met April on a ghost hunt. We were on a ghost hunt together. And she was in my ghost hunting team, and that's about it.
That was on the second sci-fi trip, right?
It was the best. I would love to go on another ghost hunt.
I met her on the previous year's one up in Vancouver.
Love it. Love my ghost hunt. So, let's actually talk TV. In the news, there's some good stuff. There's some casting stuff. Interesting casting. For the season finale, parentheses, should be series finale of The Office, we have James Spader, Catherine Tate, Ray Romano joining Will Arnett and Ricky Gervais. Oh, it sounds like the five of them are all going to compete for, like, I guess Michael's job, or I guess Will Ferrell's job, because Will Ferrell's taking it after Michael. But Ray Romano's kind of busy with Men of a Certain Age. And James Spader, I don't know. I don't know if that's a good fit. But Catherine Tate, I'd be super cool with.
Yeah.
I love that lady.
For sure. That's a lot of big personalities, though.
It is. I don't know.
It's kind of the, hey, please still watch us after Steve Carell leaves, you know, sort of finale.
I guess, but I see, here's
like
the thing about
everything.
That. But the thing about that is these people aren't like, they're not like Will Ferrell. Like Will Ferrell, I can understand that being like, hey, please watch Steve Carell, you know, please watch The Office because Will Ferrell's going to be on. But like James Spader and Catherine Tate, like these aren't huge, huge draws that you would expect. So to me, that's kind of interesting. That, like, they're kind of really going for the out there. I don't know.
I think Catherine Tate would be perfect.
I do too.
Because she's my favorite Doctor's Companion. But the Catherine Tate show, I mean, she's perfect at the improv, and she would fit right in.
Yeah, I think it would be awesome. I fully support it, and I can't wait to see her on the show. So that's The Office. Talking about... some new TV. Showtime has picked up Kristen Bell and Don Cheadle's comedy House of Lies and Claire Danes and Mandy Patinkin's psychological thriller Homeland. And more importantly, in the psychological thriller Homeland, a man named Damian Lewis, who I love so much. And I hope he's wearing jeans, and Ray will understand it, because when he is in a black shirt and jeans, there's no one hotter. Anyway. I have no idea really beyond comedy and psychological thriller what exactly to expect.
Is this comedy comedy or Showtime comedy?
It's Showtime comedy.
Yeah, Showtime black comedy type of...
So rarely funny.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
It does sound interesting, though. At least it's the little spiel of the show is that it's based on the book How Management Consultants Steal Your Watch and Tell You the Time. And it revolves around corporate management consulting firms and stuff like that. And I'll give it a plus for being set in an arena that you haven't really seen a show set in a, it's not
That's
a hospital.
True.
It's not a law firm.
Exactly.
It's not a police station. So
I'll give it a plus for getting Kristen Bell out of horrible movies.
Yes. So true. Oh, my God. Kristen Bell.
Yeah, she hasn't had...
And yet I see them all. Like, I see them. I watch her movies, and I don't know why.
When in Rome might be one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Oh, God, that movie. It, like, does away all the goodwill of Veronica Mars and Dax Shepard in Parenthood. Like, all the goodwill that Dax Shepard has built up is gone in that movie.
She's got a lot of goodwill from Veronica Mars, so we'll see you again or whatever. Because
exactly, that's exactly
this
it.
This time, she's finally got some taste, but no.
Yeah, you can say, like, I'm watching that new Showtime show with Kristen Bell, and you sound like, you know, you're a Showtime watcher, so it's okay.
Personally, I would have rather them kept totally blanking on it. What was the show that... the catering show on Starz that they canceled.
Oh, Party Down. I love
Party Down.
That.
I would have rather them kept that and brought her on as a regular.
Yeah. Rob Thomas. Awesome. They're like meant to be.
I love Rob Thomas. I love Rob Thomas so much. Anyway.
He's attached to something new, I think.
He's got a comedy. He's got two comedies. One just finished shooting, and it's got Rob Corddry in it. And I don't know what the other one is, but... I hear that the one with Rob Corddry is pretty freaking hilarious. So I look forward to that. But once again, we've gotten off topic, as we always do. Oh, I forgot about this, and I'm really excited about it. Fox has picked up Bob's Burgers for a second season. Had you asked me after I watched the pilot, hey, Amory, are you really excited about Bob's Burgers? I would have laughed in your face. And maybe I did laugh in your face. Maybe it did happen. But I am in love with this show. Like... I could watch it all day long and still think it's hysterical. I think the kids on the show are genius. I mean, they're not kids. They're like Eugene Merman and Kristen Schaal, but they're amazing. Do you guys watch it?
I watched the pilot and I was done.
Yeah, I'm the same. I can't speak
apparently
to
I
you.
Should go back and...
it's just absurd. And I think it helps that Archer's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, I think
and
that
H. John
does.
Benjamin has one of like the best voices in the world. And... You know, it's the same voice. You can't mask that voice. But he's so, like, spy on Archer and so, like, put upon Burger Man on Bob's Burgers. It's so awesome. I highly support it, and I'm really happy that they got a second season. So that's that. That's our news. I didn't see much else happening this week. I guess, technically, USA announced their season, their summer dates, and Psych is not back until the fall, which pisses me off. Because they're giving another lawyer show a shot and another female-led drama, which never seems to do well. So, but then again, Covert Affairs is doing okay, and I think Fairly Legal did okay. But they don't break out of the box as big as, like, White Collar did. So
have
we'll
they
see.
Ever said anything about Fairly Legal? Is that, like, coming back for a second season, or...?
I haven't heard, but I figured, like, if we hadn't heard, it probably means that it is coming back. I don't know.
How soon after the Burn Notice movie will the new season come back?
2 months. It comes back in June.
Oh, good.
Like June 18th or something. It's a Thursday. It's going to be on at 9 o'clock, and then the new show, Necessary Roughness, which, listen, no, Suits is after Burn Notice. That's the lawyer show with Gina Torres. There you go, Gina Torres. And then Necessary Roughness, which I watched the movie, and I love the movie, and they're unrelated, so you can't have them clearly named the same thing. Sorry, Scott Bakula wins. Scott Bakula wins this fight. He will win every fight as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, they're out there somewhere. I don't have the dates officially. All I know is that White Collar basically just ended and it's coming back on June 7th. But Psych has to wait a whole year. Anyway, whatever. I'm not bitter. They're both of my, like, White Collar's my second favorite show to Psych, so I'm not sure why I'm complaining about White Collar specifically, but whatever.
I like how last week you were... given it to all the people that were like, oh man, I can't believe Mad Men's going to be so
long. No, I know.
You're like, oh man, Psych. I can't believe I have to wait this long for Psych.
I think I'm just comparing it to other things. Like, Mad Men doesn't have another show to compare it to, and my life is not over because Mad Men's not starting, or until Psych's not starting until the fall. Am I mad that I won't have Psych over the summer? Yes. But I'm not like, what am I going to do? I'm going to die without it. Parentheses, Mad Men fans. Anyway, that's the news. So if you have anything else, you know where to find it online. And tell us where to find it, because we can never find the news. So this week we talked a little bit about TV on DVD, and there's not really anything coming out, but I think that everybody wanted to mention something. Well, I don't care. I think this is pointless. This DVD set is pointless, but I think that's what we're talking about. Yeah, I think that's why we're bringing it up.
I think that's the only point in mentioning the Glee.
But the whole point
Encores.
Of mentioning this is that Glee Encores comes out on DVD, and it's pretty much every musical performance from season one, which, if you have the DVDs already, or the CDs, or whatever, you have these.
I do find it interesting in that this is, like, all the big, sort of the bigger, you know, musical videos type stuff, I guess, or, you know, the really big ones that they had. And the thing is you can stick it in your DVD player and just hit play and watch, like, all 25 of them or however many are on the thing without having to switch between season, you know, the different disc and whatnot. Mm. I mean, if you're a huge fan of mainly the music, I can sort of see it. But my favorite thing is what Janie said in the email when we were talking about what the DVDs were this week, and that it's just they seem to be able to find every little teeny way to separate Glee fans from their money.
This is true.
It's remarkable. It's CDs that are just one episode worth of songs, and then CDs of a whole season party themed or whatever. It's just, it's ridiculous. This is like the karaoke version, but you just sit there and watch them sing, and you don't get the story, which I assume you watch for that. So just, Fox, leave me alone.
Yeah, they do try and rake you over the coals for some cash. It works. They wouldn't keep making them if it didn't work. But
can you imagine though, like someday when the series is over, they'll have like the ultimate everything collection that'll come out in a giant, a gazillion DVDs.
The remastered version a year later. You know, Jason. I mean, they're gonna keep milking it even after it's over.
Exactly.
But as long as people keep buying it, I guess.
Yeah.
The only thing I see, though, is, like, it seems to me that that's got to just burn it out faster than it ever would. I don't know.
I guess. It probably does a little bit, but I don't know.
Or is this, like, the one exception to that rule? Like, the core Glee audience will just buy...
I mean, we're only in the second season. It's going to happen. There's going to be burnout. People are going to revolt more than they already are. But now they're going to milk it for all it's worth until that time comes.
Well,
so.
Yeah, but I'm talking the core audience, though, that... There's a core
they're
there
never going to get over it.
That
nope,
I think they're going to buy everything they put out and
T-shirts and hats and pens and candy and like baby clothes. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But that's Glee Encores. I also wanted to say,
I'm waiting for the Glee
alert,
line of slushy beverages to hit stores.
I'm not
going
to. This has nothing to do with Glee. I'm totally changing the subject. I watched season 5 of Friday Night Lights, and I'm not going to give anything away, except that I cried from like start to finish 13 episodes.
So you got the set, and how...
It took me 2 days. I mean, but if you think about it, if I forego watching like TV that's on, like this is something I couldn't watch.
Well, it's only like 8 hours, a little over 8 hours with, you know, actual watching. So
like, and this is not stuff I was going to... And I watched it on like a Friday night and a Saturday night, so which I don't know if that's worse. But like, it was not something I was going to sit at my desk and watch because... I knew that I would be crying, like, tears, like, buckets of tears, because it's my favorite show. Like, it really is, if I had to pick a show, like, Friday Night Lights did it best. I know there are some, like, weird parts that people don't want to remember, but still, it's my favorite show, so I'm going to get really emotional. It's how I'm going to feel when Sons of Anarchy ends, too. Like, these two shows together, and I bawled my eyes out at Lost. Like, these are things that I'm going to cry about. But I just have to say, like, please watch it, because it's... It's not going to affect it. It's over. It's the final season. It's not like your ratings are going to help, but it just needs to be seen. Like, it's just so well done.
all of a sudden its fifth season ratings on NBC are just monstrous. Exactly. And they're like, we need to bring it back for a sixth.
I'm sure there's going to be like 500 people watching it because they've all bought the DVDs, which came out before it even premiered.
Yeah, that's a weird... I'm sort of surprised that somewhere in the deal to bring it back that there wasn't something for NBC to be able to get a little
bit more
bang for
their buck. Yeah, NBC doesn't care. NBC was over it 3 years ago.
Yeah, I know, but they're still going to air it.
I know.
I don't know. I guess it's, you know, it's paid for. It's there. It's
yeah,
done.
Yeah, it's paid for. It's done. You they're know, not going to lose any money on it.
Might as well just put it on.
Exactly. So it's time for prime time. And up first, we're going to talk about The Killing, Season 1, Episode 1, 2, and 3, Pilot, The Cage, El Diablo. Oh, here's another show that I was crying my eyes out. Okay, really well done, really slow moving, and Mariah Enos is just genius with the look she gives. But let me tell you, when Michelle Forbes and Brent Sexton had to tell those boys that Rosie went to heaven with her grandmother, I was sobbing. Sitting here on a Sunday night, crying my eyes out. Sunday, it's better than Friday or Saturday. Oh my God. What are your thoughts?
I think the show is really good. It's, like you said, it's slow, but it's not boring.
Right,
like,
right.
That's the, you know, Mildred Pierce, the HBO miniseries. To me, that is just slow and meandering, and I just never could get into it. It just bored me to death. So there is something to, you know, it's not necessarily always pace that creates the...
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff that they do, I mean, with the atmospherics and then the story is... The way they're unfolding it is completely compelling, and the performances are all freaking amazing.
Everything's amazing. It's so well done. It's so well done. Janie, you watch it, right? You watched it?
Yeah, I do, and it's... I appreciate the pace just because it's the kind of thing that a procedural would play out one and done, one episode, right, and then it's over. And the fact that it's a murder mystery that we're going to see over the course of a season, we're getting those silent moments and the emotional moments, and it's got mm-hmm. the music and the setting and the, I don't know, it just gives me chills every time. And I definitely have been tearing up in the... in the Larson family scenes as well.
Oh
so
my God, they're
I'm
so
all in
rough.
For it.
Oh, I love it. I love a show that makes you cry like that.
Yeah, like in the third episode, when the youngest son is like, asked his dad how their sister died, and then the older son is like, we don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, Dad.
Yeah.
And those moments, and the only thing I will say about the series is that while it does rain in Seattle, very seldom does it ever pour like it does continually for 3 days straight. But for the most part, I'll say that they've done a pretty good job of making Vancouver look like Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
If you're from Seattle, you can tell, but they've done a pretty good job.
And it's based on a Danish series. Have any of us ever been to Denmark? Does it look like that series? And I don't know, but I can definitely tell just based on how Dutch and, you know, Scandinavian type movies feel, like Let the Right One In or whatever. It's that mm-hmm. kind of eerie quality.
Yeah, they definitely let the setting is like a character in the show, you know.
Definitely.
It's definitely a part of it. This show couldn't take place like over the summer in Seattle.
Right.
It couldn't be bright and shiny and stuff like that. It needs to be dark.
So here's an important question.
All the time.
Who are your suspects after 3 episodes?
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many that they've put forward.
I mean, it has to be someone we've met so far. Has to be. I will not accept it if it's somebody that they throw in like a 7th episode. like, oh, here's this new person that killed her. Like, I will not accept that. All their goodwill would be gone. But at the same time, it's like I've made a case in my head against every possible choice. But I'm thinking that maybe because I hated her on Felicity, I think that it's Kristen Lehman's character, Avery. So mad at that character when she was on the show.
Do you think Rosie would have been running through the forest in fear like that from that?
See, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, is it Billy Campbell? Who knows? Is it the mayor? I don't think it's her creepy friends. I think those friends, I don't think that's Rosie. Spoiler alert, I don't think it's Rosie in that video.
Interesting.
I think, we didn't see her face, and we purposely didn't see her face. They didn't show us it was actually her.
Yeah, because, well, that's sort of what I'm
I should be writing the show, people!
Well, that's what I'm looking at, is you're 3 episodes into 13 episodes, and, you know, and not really introducing anybody else, and you've kind of got it where it is, but you still need to do 10 more episodes of show. There's got to be lots of other twists and turns coming.
Exactly.
If we're going for, say, an unlikely suspect, we could look at one of Stan's, you know, coworkers, because we've met them and they're completely not suspicious, and therefore they should be very suspicious.
Exactly. Or the teacher. I think their teacher's super creepy, and he's always in every show ever that's ever said about killers, so I think that he should be it. Also, he's on Being Erica.
Yeah. And is the nice boyfriend on there, so, of the sister of Erica.
Mm-hmm.
But that's beside the point.
Unrelated.
But no, I think the sort of one that's sort of like out there at the forefront is the campaign guy that ends up getting fired.
He's totally a red herring, and they're not going to make him be the killer this early.
You know, for the leak type stuff.
He totally didn't leak it. It was Avery from...
Avery, it was all your fault.
But yeah, it's totally, it can't be him, but it totally, he's just sort of that creepy, odd guy that, you know, that it sort of seems like. The thing is trying to create some sort of connection, though, between, like, where would any of these people have met? How would they have run across each other? Where would they have come in contact?
Exactly. And I'm sure that the writers have it figured out better than I do, but.
Well, I hope so. They're done already.
I know. I hope so, too. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. I'm very intrigued, and it's the kind of show that I don't see myself being like, oh, answer some questions, because the whole point of the show is that they're going to spend 13 episodes answering this, like, one big question, and I'm okay with that.
I'm interested in is what do you do, like, obviously it's doing really well, so they're obviously going to do another season, but you have to do, like, a whole nother case.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure that they can, I mean, depending on who the killer is, I'm sure they can figure something out.
But it's one of those interesting ones that it's a great idea, and to do something like this, sort of like the old Murder One, they did a second season of that, but it never really worked quite the same way the second season.
Yeah, so I never watched it, too.
I'm interested to see what they do here, because you have a whole new set of suspects, and so part of what you liked about the show or what was interesting about the show won't be there.
Right.
Other than, like, the detectives. So...
we'll see.
That's sort of a far-out thing that I'm sort of interested in seeing.
So there you have it. There's the killing. What's everybody else's thought on the killing? Let us know. Moving on to the likely series finale of No Ordinary Family, Season 1, Episode 20, No Ordinary Beginning. I did not watch. I read a recap, so I'm not as informed. Have at it.
Well, I really liked it. I liked the show, and I wish it had done better, and obviously there's no official word from ABC on its cancellation, but it's pretty much writing on the wall with Michael Chiklis and Julie Benz both being on other pilots.
And Rebecca Mader, even though I don't know that she matters anymore.
No, she turned out to be not very villainous in the finale. It was really all about... what, Reverend Camden, what's his name?
Rev Cam, that's all you need to say. Reverend Camden, we know.
You know, him.
Stephen Collins.
And Lucy Lawless as the bad guys. And they left it on a note that would have made for a very interesting second season. So it's a shame that that's probably the end. But it was fun.
Yeah, first, I'll say, in regards to Rebecca Mader, whoever's idea it is to take somebody that looks like that and make them into a character that spends most of their time as looking like somebody else is an idiot. But besides that, I really liked how they ended the series, or, you know, ended it to set up for a second season. I liked the series and that they were slow developing, getting to something like this, that they didn't just, like, do all of that type of stuff in the, you know, just sort of blow through stuff in, the like, a two-hour premiere or something like that, and then take it straight to this. The problem that I had is their development of these characters from the beginning to here, there was too much stupidity. Like, too many of the episodes relied on just somebody not saying something to somebody else. I hate that when everything that goes wrong in the episode just is only because somebody didn't say something to one of their family members, you know?
Right, like, but that's so TV. Yeah. Every TV show does that.
But it came off in this situation, though, with your family members are the only people that you can really trust with this type of stuff, you know? You can't really go outside of anything else. And so there were too many different dumb moments early in the series that's where I think it lost a lot of the audience.
It sounds like they tried to rush really quickly at the end, too. Like,
well, I think they did end up getting shortened by a couple episodes, yeah, too. So I think they did. I think they sort of crammed what they would have done, which actually I think may have actually helped make some of the episodes towards the end better, is it sort of sped things up a little bit. But I like how they ended it, sort of the... But were the V writers and the No Ordinary Family writers, like, were they cribbing off of each other with their endings on having all of a sudden the government shows up to meet with our heroes, and you find out on V that there's a big government thing behind...
Who knows? I didn't watch that finale either. Sorry, Logan. Yeah,
so they kind of ended... They kind of ended that same way.
Your BS, Logan.
I mean, I like the cast. It would have been good to see them go on, but I have trouble... Sure, I liked Michael Chiklis on The Commish, but then Vic Mackey was so different than...
It's hard to go back.
Scully, so it's like Scully, David Scully, Anthony Scully, Tony, I don't even remember his name! And it's difficult to go back to seeing him as like a family guy. I mean, yes, Vic loved his family, but Vic was not exactly the nicest guy, and especially to his wife, but I don't know. Maybe I'll go back and catch up on it eventually, but if it's not going to be renewed, I see no reason.
Yeah, it's too bad. They left it in a spot where it actually has, with creating all the mega villains, and they basically created a finale that says, hey, we have 80 more episodes to make.
Right.
Where we track down the 80 bad guys that crashed on this plane.
But thank goodness for George. I mean, he wanted superpowers that whole time, so... That was probably the best thing about the finale.
I wish they would have shown us, like, a little hint of what he may have gotten.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll do like a webisode, like web series or something to catch us up at the end. I don't know. The cast all seem to like it and like each other. So we'll see. We'll see in a couple weeks because upfronts are in a month. So we'll see what happens. That kind of scares me. I don't believe that upfronts are only a month away. Moving on to, and somebody said online, who was it? Alias Girl, I think. She was like, every time you say moving on, I think of Catherine from Greek. I'm like, oh, I love Catherine from Greek. She's my favorite. So anyway, moving on. The Good Wife, Season 2, Episode 19. Can't believe it's Episode 19 already. Wrongful Termination with Janie's best friend, Josh. You guys are on a first-name basis, right?
We are. He hasn't responded to me. He's playing hard to get, is the thing. But Josh we have a secret love. And it's very secret.
That he doesn't even know about it?
Except that I'm sharing it right now.
I'm sure he's listening.
Well, he listens.
Josh
Carl. One of our many listeners.
He'll come around.
So, exactly.
Josh, if you're listening, my number is 205.
555-1212.
The old 555. Nobody's fooled.
Nobody's fooled. I love it. So let's talk about the episode. I love this show, and I love Eli Gold, and I just love him. That's all I have to say. it's just so well done. It's just hard to compare other shows to it because it just does so much so easily. Like, sure, we don't know why it was a big deal that Kalinda had to change her name or whatever. And sure, we all know that it's coming, that Alicia's going to find out, but they can still do a really entertaining story, you know, Stern dying and Michael J. Fox showing back up and being awesome in that car scene. Like, it's just, I love it. And I love the guy who has the baby who's the investigator and how he's constantly with his screaming child. He has a lion speakerphone. And I love the love that Carrie has for Kalinda. And
how awesome was Titus Welliver's voice coming out of
Well, here's the thing. Okay, if I had one complaint It's that it was clearly that Titus obviously couldn't film that day. So they sent him and were like, here, record yourself saying this. But don't record yourself saying it like you're actually having a conversation. So let's say he was reading, like, I don't know. But he clearly wasn't saying the things that he was saying into the speakerphone, expecting a response. It's hard to explain, but go back and listen to it, and you'll be able to tell that, like, he was ending, he would record it, take a break, and then read the next sentence. He did not record it with room for people to talk. But that's the only complaint I have about the episode. I'm not really sure I can say much.
Okay, but of all the ways to get around an actor's scheduling conflict, that one was the winner, okay?
Agreed. Absolutely. Hysterical.
And I just really liked that Alicia she's so cool. And, you know, you've got Eli coming in telling her, you need to be cool. And this reporter is asking her really personal, you know, offensive questions. And she's able to just let it slide. And Eli's the one that freaks out.
Right.
And, you know, hangs up the phone. And is like, go to hell, bitch.
Oh, my God. When he throttled the head of the Democratic National Convention, like when he was choking him.
Where did you go to school?
Hysterically funny. Oh, I hate amateurs. Like, just the way he says things. He's so good. Ugh.
But, yeah, Alicia, she's so poised. And she's got a bit of an attitude now. The way that she was talking to Stern and the way she talks to Canning, it's, you know, she's got more confidence now, and it's going to be really upsetting to see, you know, what happens to that confidence when she's like, oh, my friend slept with my husband and then maybe became my friend, to see if I would ever catch on to what she had done, and that'll be sad. But then she can go to Josh and be like, Josh, your puppy dog eyes are just what I need right now.
Oh, I love that man, Josh Charles. But I don't love him enough to steal him away from you, Janie.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I do what I can. So that's the good wife.
Well, I just want to say one other thing is I like what they've done with Michael J. Fox's character.
Oh my God, he's the best.
Having him buy into a Chicago law firm and is now basically could be like a recurring character even more so than he has been.
Yeah.
Yeah, just rotate right in there with, you know, with Meryl Streep Jr. and
love
Martha.
Her. Oh my God, I love her.
It's like the rotating interns on Bones. They have these lawyers that they can just keep bringing back, and they're all awesome.
I mean, I love how they do that with the judges. Like, Dennis O'Hare is just freaking hysterical.
Yeah.
He's up there doing the moment of silence, and everybody's just like, is this over yet?
Yeah.
What's happening? Oh my God, so good. So, The Good Wife, we love it. We want everybody to watch it. I mean, it bothers me that it doesn't have good ratings. It really does. It bothers me, but
it's interesting that
it has viewers. It's just not in the demo.
Yeah, it does a pretty good size number. Yeah, but that 18 to 49 number is low. I don't know. It's really good.
All right, The Good Wife. So moving on to Lights Out, series finale, season 1, episode 13, War. Another thing I did not watch.
Which I didn't watch either, but Janie had it on her list of things she wanted to talk about, so.
I did
hear about what happened at the end, so I do know that.
I liked it. They definitely ended it in a way that left you wanting more. You know, he wins the big rematch with Death Row, and then he forgets about it. I mean, the beating he took has done what, you know, his daughter feared, and sending him down the path to be one of those boxers that is suffering from pugilistic dementia. And so, you know, you take his victory with a, you know, very bitter pill. And it would have been interesting, I think, to see, you know, how that boxer alliance went through and, you know, what Barry and Brenner would have been up to. But most of all, I think it's just a real loss because Holt was a really compelling leading man. And
they need to get him on something fast. I love him.
He started out and I was like, oh, okay, tough guy, whatever. But when he started kind of understanding that his actions had consequences. Like the episode that David Morse came in and was this, you know, boxer who couldn't remember anything he didn't write down, and it just took a toll on him. And you could really see it in the finale in this confessional scene, and he starts crying about, you know, what he's done, and mostly what he's done to his family, and, you know, making his daughter keep this secret for him. And I thought he was incredible.
Yeah, I really like him. I've loved him in like any little like guest star that he's seen or he's been a part of. And so I'm like, oh, as soon as I saw that he was going to be on a show, I was really excited about it. But it just didn't click for me. That's not that he wasn't great. I just didn't love the show. But from what I've heard, like the season was a solid season that was worth, like if there's like Terriers was such a good 13 episodes that if it's going to end, it's going to end with just kind of amazingness, and that Lights Out was kind of in the same boat, that it was just a good solid 13 episodes to remember the show by.
I think they both ended, or they both, like I said, I haven't watched Lights Out, but did watch Terriers, but from what I've heard, and like what she's saying, is that both of them are a 13 episode season that you could go, somebody else that's never seen it, just because it's never gotten another season, there is a story encapsulated in the season.
Like, yeah, I would never suggest somebody go watch Lost season one. I would never suggest, and with no intention of watching seasons 2 through 6, I would never suggest that to someone. But luckily with a show like Terriers and with Lights Out, it sounds like you will get beginning, middle, and end, and it would you'll be pissed that you're not going to get more, but it was still awesome.
Yeah, look at the life Firefly has had since it went off.
Yeah.
Good. I don't know. I think I would be less upset if American television were more on the British model that tended to do these, you know, mini series,
yeah,
just the one really great season of something. The fact that something like Lights Out gets canceled and Terriers, which was probably one of my favorite shows ever, period, it's heartbreaking to see what continues.
Yes, and that, like, people on Jersey Shore get six-figure raises.
Six-figure raises, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
just right there.
Oh, makes me so mad. Moving on to something that made me laugh hysterically, maybe more in the second episode that you'll see that's going to air before this comes out, but in the pilot too, Breaking In, season one, episode one, pilot, Christian Slater is best when he is completely off the wall. Because I think in real life, he is completely off the wall in the best way possible. And he plays crazy out there characters, and I love him.
Well, some of the stuff, like, being his character being, like, a Trekkie, I mean, he is in
real life.
In real life and stuff like that. And so, but, well, the, you know, scenes like him in Captain Kirk's chair.
So good.
There was just so much stuff in the episode. When I watched the first one, you know, a while back, and Fox had it available for quite some time.
It's been on for a while, yeah.
And, you know, I watched it, and I was like, oh, why is this the one that's, you know, waiting? Although, on the other hand, I'm like, I'm kind of glad that it's the one that they've put on after Idol, because it'll almost,
yeah,
it'll almost guarantee that it's going to come back. You know, like, how, unless it were to just completely fall off the table, like, people thought it was so bad that it dropped even more, you know, significantly from last week to this week or something like that.
Yeah, I gotta confess, I'm one of them. I didn't like it at all.
I like the second episode more than the first.
I'll give it two, and no more. But I just didn't laugh at all, not a single time. And it's not that I don't think the premise is cute or Christian Slater is charming. I do. I just didn't think that the lines were funny. I didn't.
I think a little bit of my love of the first episode is the amount of potential. Also, not just that there was stuff that made me laugh in the first episode, but I also saw two things. I saw that there was a lot of potential with the setup, and that the setup seemed different. Like,
I like knowing that Michael Rosenbaum is going to be around, too.
I mean, while it's sort of an office comedy type of thing, it's sort of this off-the-wall, sort of, it's almost like the Office meets Leverage kind of thing with they do all, you know, these breaking in to things to test security and stuff like that. But I think it has a it's just so different from every other comedy that's like come out pretty much this year, other than like Raising Hope. Everything else has been so...
It's not about three couples trying to teach each other about the world. Listen, I love, for the record, Happy Endings is sort of like that, but not quite. And
yeah,
I love
Happy Endings is more of a Friends knockoff than...
than a relationship in three generations or whatever.
Trio of relationships, but... you have... I don't know. I guess in Happy Endings, you have was going to get married couple and the married couple, and then the...
The looking for love couple? I don't know. All I know... Wait, and we're off the subject of Breaking In, and I think we've kind of moved past Breaking In. That's fine. Like, we like Breaking In. I think everybody should watch it. If you didn't like it, you didn't like it. Yeah. Give it a second episode.
I think
but
you should give it a shot.
Yeah. But moving on to Happy Endings, Janie, did you watch it yet?
No, I haven't watched it yet, but I will.
I love it. I love it. And Alicia Cuthbert is really good, and I was surprised because she's just... Especially by, I think it's the second or third episode. I think it's the second episode where the one character's parents visit. Amazing. But did you realize when you were watching it, Jason, that Alicia Cuthbert and Eliza Coop are supposed to be sisters?
Yeah.
Did they say that?
Yeah, there's somewhere in the first episode I think you realize that.
I just watched the first episode for like the third time, and I had no idea. Until I heard somebody say it to me today, with her sister. I was like, what? Anyway, that's
yeah, it's somewhere in there, but I've seen the first four episodes, and I just barely laughed at all. Like, it just...
I love it.
I just didn't find it...
I think it's hysterically funny.
I just didn't find it funny. I mean, sadly, the one episode I did actually laugh a couple times at was they were making puns and jokes off of... She was dating a guy named Hitler.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
But that's sort of... That's such, like... cheap humor that it was that I felt bad laughing at it.
It's incredibly sarcastic, and I love that because that's how I am. So I love the show, but that's not even on our list, so let's move on. Justified season 2 episode 9, Brother's Keeper. Another show I didn't watch, but I heard that this is the best episode of the season.
Yes, best. Well, I'd put it like top 2 of the series. I hesitate to put anything at number 1 right after I've seen it, but
yeah, best episode ever.
I am so glad that it's already been renewed so that fans can, you know, take a breath and be relieved that it's not hanging on the whim of this group that would clearly love it if they would only watch it, because everything about it is incredible. I mean, the thing that made this episode so great was Margot freaking Martindale. Come on. She is killing it this season. Have y'all watched any of season 2?
No.
Yeah, I've watched all of it. She's amazing on this. You know, for somebody that when you first see her, you're like, I've seen her on stuff before, playing parts here or there. Or,
she's one of those, hey, it's that lady.
Yeah.
But she's like definitely doing award-winning type work here with this character.
And you're really starting to get a sense for why Raylan actually likes Harlan. And it's odd to say that in an episode where a guy dies and almost strangles his brother and almost like kills a little girl. It's dark for sure, but it has a charm too, which you see in the party at the Bennett's house, and you're going through all this, you know, kind of scheming with the mining company and Boyd Crowder, which adds a whole nother element.
I love that he figures out what's going on and then gets himself right smack dab in the middle of it.
Yeah, definitely a turn for Boyd, which was very interesting. But, you know, the show, as far as it being mostly about Raylan, it was for a long time, why was he so attached to it? And he wanted to leave, you know, when he got sent by the marshals back to his hometown. But now we want him to stay, and we like, you know, the people, even when they do bad things, because they care for each other in a kind of twisted way.
Well, they definitely create some interesting characters on this show, but not totally in, like, a cliche sort of mean way or anything type of thing of people that live in, you know, some place like, you know, Harlan, Kentucky. Like, she talks about, you know, come out to our party and see our, you know, sort of our culture and our, and, you know, that whole party is, you know, kind of amazing with the music and, the food and everything that's going on. It's just some shows, you know, sort of create these characters and they're just, you're just like, wow, that's right out of Central Casting, you know, type of, you know, type of thing. And exactly what you would expect, but these come off, you know, real and it's doing pretty well, but it's, there's still a lot of these shows, you know, even on something like FX and stuff like that, you know, and on the cable networks, stuff like The Closer and stuff like that have, on TNT have been able to draw big numbers, you know, close, you know, even close to the type of numbers that would still be sort of low for a network show in some respects. But I don't understand why more people aren't watching some of these shows on FX and, you know, TNT and USA. And, you know, when only 2-something million people are watching something like Justified, and you're like, it's clearly better than, you know, that stuff that's drawing 10 and,
well, the
you
people
know,
with the Nielsen boxes and all that stuff, I don't care if people say they represent me. They don't. The people with Nielsen boxes don't know that FX exists.
I mean, it kind of seems that way in some respects. And then other times, you know, a show like Sons of Anarchy, all of a sudden in like its second season, just like explodes and ends up with like 3 or 4 million people watching it. And so it's really weird ratings-wise. You're like, why, how one show on, somebody, people are able to find a show on a network, but yet there are other shows that are equally as good.
Yeah, I don't know. I will never understand it.
Don't seem to draw. And like Janie was saying, Justified has lots of elements in that people like. I mean, it's got a little bit of a procedural element to it. There's usually some sort of a case most of the time, but it has some action. It's got some humor. You know, great acting. You know, interesting stories, and really seems like it should draw larger than it does. But I'm glad that it does draw what it does, because it will be back for more.
Excellent. Maybe I'll catch up on it. I say that all the time, but I never do. So that's Justified. Moving on to Nikita, Season 1, Episode 17, Covenants. Another show I don't watch. But I do know what happened because I read the recaps. Because I always see people on my Twitter feed, and they're always like, oh my god, Michael and Nikita. And I'm like, what happened? So I have to go read about it, but I never go back and watch it. But I think it's because I don't like Lindsay Fonseca on a different level than like her being an actor, or lack thereof an actor. But anyway, talk about Nikita, because I didn't watch.
Are you saying she rates on the douche crew scale?
She's not. Janie's going to hang up. Because Janie hates that I don't like Eliza Dushku. But, no, she's... it's a different hatred for the Fonseca than it is for other things. I don't hate the Dushku. I just don't like her. I hate Fonseca. But anyway, talk about Nikita. I didn't watch.
What happened? Oh, no.
Hey, you're back.
Hey.
Well, she really did hang up. Oh, my God. You missed the whole point where I was just talking about Eliza Dushku. And I was like, Janie's going to hang up if she hears me say that I don't like her again. And then you weren't there. It really happened.
She, like, pre-hung up. She, like, knew it was coming.
That's hysterical. Is she gone again?
I don't know. Keep losing her.
It said call dropped. She's gone again.
Okay, seriously.
There, she's back again.
Stop it.
Did you hear me talking about Eliza Dushku at all? Because
I didn't, but it's probably good because I know how much you dislike her.
No, I know.
And I think she's awesome.
I said at the same, like, literally when we noticed you were gone, I was like, if I say I don't like the Dushku, Janie's going to hang up because she hates that I don't like her. And then you were gone. And I was like, she really did. She really hung up.
How convenient.
We were talking about my hatred for the Fonseca. So talking about Nikita, I don't know what happened. Well, I do know what happened in the episode, but not from an informed having watched it part.
That's never stopped you before.
It really hasn't. Well, why is this on the list? What happened? Was it something huge? Like, I don't watch it, so I don't know.
It's sort of a big episode for the series. They've sort of, I don't know, Nikita's not quite necessarily on the Vampire Diaries burning through storyline type of stuff, but they seem to be sort of picking up on that. And, you know, to get to where they are in this episode, and it's only episode 17 of the series, these are all types of things that, you know, where they've gone with I thought it had been maybe around now that she would just be getting out.
Mm.
It wouldn't have been like 5 episodes ago or something like that, or, you know, like halfway through the season that I thought things would have progressed a little slower, but they've got her out of, but now they have Michael having found out about her, but then all this stuff with his past comes out, and then there's a big, you know, they sort of drop a big bombshell in that it was the reason his wife is dead was because they were trying to, the group that he works for now was trying to kill him,
mm-hmm.
and they got, you know, his wife and kid, and that he sort of goes back in, and now he's sort of the undercover sort of mole in the thing.
I mean, is how good is this division if there's constantly moles?
Well, you know, it's like Alias, you know, there's...
That's true, there was always a mole in Alias. And 24, counter-terrorist unit. Yeah.
There's always a mole, you can't sure. have... But that's the thing, is I always thought that the way the series, you know, the idea of the series of having somebody on the inside that was going to be a trainee, I always thought that was a really good way in starting up the series again. Like, if you're going to do something like Nikita that's been done, you know, you have a movie, you've had movies made off the movie, you've had a, you know, previous TV series and, you know, whatnot, mm-hmm. that if you're going to do something like that again, that, you know, we talk about that with redoing stuff, is doing something different. And they did something different. They started the story at a different point. It's almost like stuff that's happened in previous series is like sort of leads up to something like now.
Mm-hmm.
So I always thought that was a really good idea, but then it's like, how long do you do something like that? Like, how long can you obviously last with her on the inside and nobody figures it out and stuff like that? But I thought it would go longer before she would have finished her training and was an agent on the outside. But a lot of that stuff is sort of sped up. And so where they are now, with now Michael knowing and stuff like that, they're like way ahead of where, you know, this seems like maybe something that would happen in season two sometime or something.
Yeah.
So it always makes me think, just like when I'm watching like Vampire Diaries, it's like, how much, you know, how many more ideas do these people have? Where else are they going to go? These guys, you know, sometimes you think about it, they're kind of amazing in that you're like, wow, you brought that on and that was really cool. And then boom, it's gone.
Janie, do you watch?
I watch it off and on. I'm not by any means a loyal viewer, but you know, it isn't really the serialized type of thing that I usually mm-hmm. am drawn to, but I think that when I have watched it, I've enjoyed it, you know, and
Maggie Q
I didn't watch the last week's episode, but it's good that they're taking risks, and that's the kind of thing that will probably make me go back and catch
yeah,
up with it.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Hopefully it does get a season two. Like, from the sounds of it, there's nothing on the CW that's really failing. I mean, but they're all uniformly not performing, so that's good news for everything.
Well, again, on another level, talking about not being able to find, you know, something like FX, there are actually a couple of shows on the CW that are worth watching, and it's like nobody knows where the CW is.
Well, people know where the CW is more than they know where FX is, because it's a major 5 network, and people tend to know, like, what Philly 57 or whatever is. But I'm with you. Like, people refuse to watch the CW, and they really should more than they do. So that's our little, everybody should watch things on the CW. Not everything on the CW, let me warn you, but a lot of it. So I just wanted to take, like, 5 minutes and talk about reality shows that I watched this week, because there seems to be more than drama or comedy that I watched.
Yeah, it's time for Amory's reality check.
Because Ray's usually here to talk with me about The Amazing Race, but she wasn't this week. And I'm very happy, spoiler alert, because last week, my least favorite people ever on the show were fired. Not fired. Eliminated at the post.
Which show are you talking about now?
Right. This week,
you're fired.
My second least favorite team ever. Pit stop eliminated. So I'm hoping that next week, the people that are next on my list, Kent, nay, Kint, and Vixen, spelled V-Y-X-S-I-N, I hope that they're gone next, because I really can't stand them. And then at that point, I don't care who wins, because I like them all. So that's The Amazing Race. I love Top Chef Masters. I think that Curtis Stone is dreamy, but he's also a host that knows what he's talking about. And I think it's interesting that they've changed it up and the Masters are actually competing like Top Chefs versus like one eliminated chef an episode and then they all kind of come back together for a tournament. It's all kind of one is going, one is winning every week. That's awesome. Boston Rob is amazing. And while I don't think he's going to win, and I'm okay with that, I'm glad that he's making Survivor very fun this season because he's playing it really well. These people are trusting him like you would not believe. And he's helping good people get further in the game versus the pains in the asses that I don't like ever. And I think that's all I've watched this week, reality-wise. I did watch the reunion of Top Chef, All Stars, and Elia, shut up. And
I got a question for you on Top Chef.
Yeah.
Do you think that sort of having the three versions and that it's there seems pretty much always one on, do you think that that's going to ultimately show, like, burnout? Like, people just get tired of watching? Or do you think that each one is different enough?
Each one is definitely different enough. And Top Chef seems to really be able to get good personalities or whatever in there. I don't think there's going to be burnout because it's, you know, the hosts are different, the judges are different, the food is always different, they always have a new challenge, like there's always something that kind of... It's the same way that Survivor and The Amazing Race have not really burned out. I mean, they're not doing as great as they used to, and they're on twice a year, but, like, they've been interesting enough every season that there's something, maybe except for the family season of The Amazing Race, that, like, it'll be able to stick around for a while. There's not going to be as much burnout. I love it.
Do you think, I mean, that because they made Masters like regular Top Chef, that they have made it harder to get actual culinary masters? Because, you know, the best chefs in the country had time to do one episode and then maybe come back for the finale if they made it. But they don't have time to leader huge restaurant businesses to go do a full season. So you're getting basically just older versions of the people on regular Top Chef.
That's true. I mean, that's definitely something to kind of think about. But it also, because Top Chef Masters was pretty much like the Rick Bayless's and the people that we know, and Sue and you know, Seusser, like these are people that everybody knows. And the Top Chef people are people that not many people know. And so kind of right in the middle, these new crop of masters are like James Beard Award winners and people that are not quite the highest tier, but are still in a higher level than our regular Top Chef people. So I think it's different enough, but I think you're right, because they're going to need to be there, assuming they win or whatever, because I'm sure they're sequestered too after they get kicked off. I mean, it could have affected them because that's like 13 weeks or whatever. They have to be away. I'm sure it changed who they were able to get, for sure.
Yeah.
Is there other reality shows that I watch? Not really. I watch Watch What Happens Live, which is not a reality show, but that show is incredibly ridiculous, and I love it. And that's it.
So you're not going to say anything about the extreme couponing?
Oh my God! Extreme couponing! I completely forgot about it. Okay. I love it because it inspires me, right? But the thing about the show is it doesn't really tell you how these people are saving their money. It shows you, like, this one woman who bought 62 mustards, and it said... Yeah, like, that's common. Her husband doesn't even eat mustard, and she bought 62 bottles. But, I mean, I agree, because mustard doesn't spoil, so it'll keep on the shelf for a long time. But anyway. So, this woman, the only thing they really tell us is that she has a coupon for...
That ridiculous thing.
Yeah. She has... The mustard is $1.39, and she has a coupon for $1 off. So, the mustards are going to be 39 cents each. But... 39 mustards or 62 mustards at 39 cents is still like a significant amount of money. Not significant, but when you're trying to spend $5, it's significant enough. I mean, it's still $24. So how does it explain that by the time she gets to the checkout, she's only spending $5? What are the other $19 on? Like, they don't explain it well enough for me. I am not okay with that, but I'll still watch. But it makes me want to go get a binder and be one of those coupon people.
It becomes like a part-time job.
It really does, which is why I probably couldn't do it, because I don't have enough time in the day to cut coupons. But I do, like, I cut my coupons yesterday, and I sat there for a good long time cutting them and making, well, see, my problem is that I make sure they're cut, like, precisely, because that's just how I am. But
apparently yours is extremely anal couponing.
Yeah. And then I sort them, and then I, you know, put them in my coupon book, and I see what's expired. Like, it does take me like a good half hour because there's a lot of coupons, but I don't think I could ever spend like 6 hours like these people do. I couldn't. Then again, if I'm going to save 98% of my shopping, maybe I will. Who knows? If I want to buy a house, maybe I'm going to have to do this. We'll see. So that's it. That's it for us today, folks.
Well, Kyle will be happy. Not really, but
Kyle and Miles and I went and TV dinners. We went back and forth about extreme couponing. Oh, and Tiffany, my friend Tiffany. We went back and forth on Twitter about extreme couponing for like 2 hours because that's all we could talk about. It's just, it's mind blowing. Shut up. There's a Hunger Games Twitter account for the movie. Anyway, I just saw that come up. So you know where to find us if you want to get in touch with us. It is tvtimes3.com. Spell it all out. And we are on Twitter. We are on iTunes. We are on Facebook. All kinds of places you can find us. And thank you to Janie for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
When she wasn't hanging up on us because I don't like the douche goo.
Ah, yes. That's my wireless knew that's what you were doing. So
that's exactly what happened.
It wanted to show its wrath. Faith is awesome. 5x5. I stand by it.
Ray would be agreeing with you if I was not here. I mean, and she was here instead of me. She loves the douche coup as well.
But then if Ray was here, Janie wouldn't be here. So
right. So anyway, that's some kind of weird other dimension.
Speaking of Ray, Ray will be back next week.
Yes.
On the podcast.
And my plan this evening is to go use my new credit card. Because I can.
Take it to the store with you and your coupons. And
exactly. And maybe I'll try and save enough money to only spend $6 on my shopping trip. It's probably not going to happen, but we'll try. So thanks again to everybody. And on that note, I got to go. All right.
All right.
For realsies, I have to go.
All right.
I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Yeah, it was fun. Bye.
Yay. Thank you.
We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
Just, I'm super paranoid. I always have to make sure that the little green.
That would be the worst. We haven't ever had a situation where, like, we recorded a whole podcast and it didn't record. But, I mean, my luck, it's going to be one of those super funny ones where I'm, like, hilarious. And then we're going to lose it all. And then we re-record, I'm not going to be.
Because I'm recording it on two tracks, I'm always afraid that one of them is, like, I'm not going to realize that it wasn't recording, you know, that it,
yeah,
all along. And then go to put the two things together and start listening and just a bunch of blank space where where Amory and whoever else we have on that week is supposed to be talking.
So we are ready. 95, episode 95.
Correct.
All right, here we go.
It's rigging, but it's not picking up.
Maybe she got another call. Call failed. Janie! Maybe she thinks she's on. Remember that one time that I thought I was on? I wasn't. Oh, but maybe she didn't have her headset in backwards, so probably not.
You're just talking away, and you realize, oh, wait, I'm not on there anymore.
Oh, my God. I think we should play this as she hung up, because I hate the douche goo. Oh, I love it. I wonder if she lost internet connection. Those that are wondering, Janie's in town near me, so there you have it. Although they are not a couple, they are looking forward to the arrival of the baby. Well, I didn't watch Nikita, so it's not like we could even talk about it.
Okay, try again here.